So we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. I chose this verse. But the whole series of verses, this is when Narada Muni became orphan, you can say, or that his mother was bitten by a snake, and he was just wandering around the earth. So we'll be reading from first canto, 6th chapter, verse 13. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I then, this is Narada Muni speaks, I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Scary, scary story. Purport, it is the duty of a mendicant Parivrajaka Acharya to experience all varieties of God creation, but traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty bound to take all these risks without fear. And the most typical sannyasi of the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner through the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deer, elephants, and many other jungle animals. In this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. The change of dress is only a formality. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi, and in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasis should not change their former names, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended, and one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Parivrajaka Acharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great Acharyas like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So, one more time translation. I then passed through alone many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Omagyana, Timirandasya, Gananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshuran Militamiena, Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stabitamiena Bhutale, Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Yesterday class was very enlightening, I must say. There are so many wonderful stories. And I'm sure, because this is a Sankirtan week, and the speaker is supposed to speak the Sankirtan only, Sankirtan and Sankirtan only. This is like a nectar for those who are associated with Sankirtan for a long time. We are going straight through to the topic, you know, no beating around the bush, as they say. I was just thinking when I was requested, you can say, to give class, what would I say about Sankirtan? There's so many things to say. There's so many topics. There's so many stories, so many leelas, amazing leelas of Sankirtan, like unbelievable leelas. So I was thinking, where do I start? So I thought, let me start with what do these devotees experience when they go out on Sankirtan? So I was thinking about this story of Narada Muni, who was a very, very young child, traveled through all these like dangerous places. At that time, it was not like nowadays we have we can stay in hotel in India, you can pay whatever rupees. But that time you just stay in jungle and whatever happens in jungle, you know, stays in jungle. You know. And he was a very small child, means he could have been eaten by the animals very easy. You know, the grown-ups a little more difficult, but as small children, animals, even like vultures or, especially tigers at that time, could very much eat a little child. But why and what did young Narada at that time, I don't know his name, he doesn't mention his name, what was his experience, what was he going through at that moment? So I was thinking, this is exactly a question. Why? Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. So the question is, why would a person or a young person go through such a grueling experience as standing out on the street? Why? What is there for him or for her? I had in the early 90s, I had some friends from Russia. At that time, Russia just opened, and I was living in India at that time. And many the new Russian Sankirtan heroes came. And I remember this crew, this Anirdesha Vapu, you probably remember, 30,000 Maha big books in 1 month. Like, people were like, how is this physically possible? And I befriended one really, a friend from St. Petersburg, and he was not so big Maharati. He did only 700 books a day. And he just told me when he started Sankirtan in the mid-80s or late 80s, at that time, they didn't even have a temple. They squatted in the old building, and there was over the fence there. Anybody speaking? Windows. The windows were not there. There was just a hole in the house. So he said, you know, it's winter time. They're all sleeping. In the morning, you wake up covered with snow because it snows through the windows. And he said that they no water. No, they just go out in snow, like in gamshas, and shower with the snow. And then after this, they go out. Each devotee has a different assignment of book distribution only. This was the only service at that time. And he has a book table and didn't even have books at that time. So they printed Xerox, you know, copied each book. And they have to change a little bit the title because they don't look like religious. So they call it, you know, love or something like this. And he said he was standing at the book table 13 hours a day, sometimes 15 hours a day in the snow. And I said, how many books do you do? He said, one, two, maybe three, the most. This is like a maximum, three books. And now we are wondering, why would anybody do this? Why would anybody put themselves through such an experience? So this is the question we want to... of course, after this, he became, you know, super Maharati. Krishna rewarded his austerity. But this is the question. And then... the reason is because Narada Muni, later on, it is described how Narada Muni, young Narada Muni, after all this traveling through all these forests and all these difficult, dangerous places, he sat in the shade of a banyan tree and there was no people around. This is described in Bhagavatam. And meaning there was no audience. He was some remote place. And he was sitting under the shade of a banyan tree and then he had the darshan of the Supreme Personality of God. So I thought this is the very significant point that, you know, anybody can sit under the shade of a banyan tree. You know, there's so many banyan trees in India. We can sit and then we can, you know, I want to see, you know. Like once, just a side story, I was once in one temple and one elderly Indian gentleman came and the curtains were closed and he said, open the curtains, I want to see the Krishna, you know. He was eager, you know. It was very nice. But we cannot do... of course, we can see the deity when the curtains are open. But we cannot sit in the shade of a banyan tree or whatever the tree we have here. And then we say, okay, I want to see the Krishna. You know, that may not happen, you know, so easily. But this particular situation of Narada Muni, he went through some experience which caused him or helped him to actually realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what I thought the Sankirtan devotees do experience. Because what did Narada Muni experience? First of all, Narada Muni, as a young boy, he had to conquer fear. You know, we always speak of conquering fear. You know, there's this self-help guru I remember from the also 80s, 90s. He said, do what you fear most, and you conquer fear. You know, and I was like, yes, I will do. You know, but this is This is not how we conquer fear. We conquer fear. First of all, what is fear? Fear is an emotion or a concept that we will lose something. Particularly, everything stems from the fear of death. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, it is described, bhayam vitya binibeshita syat, that this bhayam is the cause of everything we do. Look at the people. Everybody has a house. Why do they have houses? Why nobody sleeps under a tree? You know, you don't see any engineer, you know, mechanical engineer. You know, he's going under his tree, spread a blanket. And no, we have apartments, we have cars, we have governments, we have army, police. All these things is all based on fear. Because we are fearful of losing something very important, fearful of losing something very dear to us. Ultimately, fearful of losing our own self. In the devotee world, we call it upadhi. You know, we actually desirable to lose the upadhis, but we are in the material world. Everybody is fearful of losing this upadhi. You know, many times when new devotees join, they come and they say, "Hare Krishna, Prabhu." I remember once, several times, young devotees say, "I'm afraid of I will not be me anymore if I join the Hare Krishna movement." You know, they think like I also. There was also a period that when I was very young devotee, I was taught, man, I will lose myself, you know. You know, I will become them, you know. So it is a fear there of losing the upadhi, and ultimately fear of losing the body, because we think, or anybody else, think they are the body. They are the body. And we think we are the bodies. Even devotees, we know philosophy and everything, but when, as they say, push comes to shove, we are like, whoops, are we really not body? Or maybe we are somewhat body. It's all in the name of Yukta Vairagya, Prabhu. This is a usual concept or idea or excuse. Fear, this is a very important thing. And Narada Muni, by exposing himself to this constant threat, you know, living in the forest as a young child is a 24-hour, you know, 7 days a week, 367 days a year threat. So this is what I thought is a concept of a Sankirtan devotee. Sankirtan devotee, of course, Sankirtan devotee doesn't expose themselves to the wild animals, but in a sense also practicing of conquering fear. Because Sankirtan devotee knows, whoever went on the street for some time, at least a year or 2-3 years, they know your life depends, whatever happens on the street, everything depends here what you do at home. If you chant good rounds, you know, these are not just good rounds, you know, they're begging. The rounds of our Hare Krishna devotee distributing books is a begging rounds, like a rounds of, as Prabhupada says, mother of a child crying for the child. You know, anybody who has done, like I happened to some years ago also distributed books in New York City. You know, probably London is kind of the same, I don't know. But they were so difficult. This city is like eating you alive. So we all wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and chant our rounds like Hare Krishna, Krishna. Because you know, go out there, you'll be smashed, as we said. Our ISKCON lingo. We get smashed on the street. You know, people are suddenly just get lost, and some devotees even came crying, I remember. Very difficult. Very tough. Crying, you know, some serious brahmachari, you know, powerful devotees, they come and say, "I cannot do this anymore, Prabhu." They say, "Okay, let's go together, eat some prasadam, take a little rest, and go out again." So, our rounds, as a book distributors, are begging Krishna as a child crying for its mother. Another thing, we have to read. You know, sometimes in the temple or whatever, you know, we read a little bit, we read, okay, I read today 1 hour, it's good enough. But in the Sankirtan van or whatever we are, the reading is also a prayer. You know, you pray and you say, "Okay, Krishna, tell me something. Tell me something from these words." And you read something and say, Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada says, I don't know, one should give up. And he said, that's it. Prabhupada speaks to me this very moment. You know, how many times, you know, just when you think about something and and Prabhupada speaks to you. I had so many times experience, but once I was in one temple, and I was a little bit sick, you know, and I couldn't, you know, I was just laying in sleeping bag, and there was a deity of Jagannath, and I went to Jagannath. I said, "Dear Lord Jagannath," I was not so humble on my side, and I said, "Do you want me to be like this, sick, laying in bed, or you want me to go out and preach? What is better for you? I don't care. I mean, I can sleep. I don't, you know, I'm just a tool. But for you, it's more valuable to use me in your service to preach, distribute books. At that time, we were distributing books doing Harinams. So you decide, you know, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is better for you?" So then I thought, you know, very not so humble. I went back to my room and I took, I think it was Nectar Devotion. I don't remember exactly. I think Nectar Devotion, I opened, and the very first sentence I read, "A devotee never prays to the Lord for any material benefits, even for health." And I was like, oops. I closed the book, I went back to the temple room and said, "Please accept my obeisances. Forgive me my offenses." Devotees don't beg for this. We are begging to be engaged in devotional service. And we are depending on Krishna, as this verse from the Shikshashtaka, Ashlisya Vapadaratam Pinastumam Adarshanam. This is a prayer. Even if you don't give me your darshan, you'll still be my Lord. Whatever it is. Even if I'm sick to the next 50 years, okay? It's your desire. But of course, it would be preferable if you would engage me in your devotional service. So then, our rounds, you know, we chant our rounds, like as I said, like, you know, because we think this is like the best japa retreat is to actually go on Sankirtan. In the morning, you will chant your rounds like very, very attentively, as we say, fire up, you know, this ISKCON terminology. And also, we cannot distribute books unless we read these books. Prabhupada, many times there was this famous letter, the Prabhupada says, "It's nice that you distribute them, but are you reading them?" But reading them, not just to read a book. You know, we have to read to actually understand. When somebody asks me, "What is in this book?" I have to explain to him. Especially, you know, you go to big cities and people are busy. And sometimes, you know, I have to mention New York again. I was distributing, my favorite place was in front of Wall Street. These business people, they're like so heavy. And they come and they say, like this, "You have 30 seconds to tell me what is this book about." And look in a watch. And you're like, and you have to say, "This is about this, this is about this, this one is about this, this one is about this." And you have to explain to him why does he need it in 30 seconds. If they're happy, okay. They give you money, leave. This was for me very cool, very nice book distribution there. No explanation, no nonsense, just straight to the point, you know. So we have to know the books. What is in the book? We have to read the Bhagavad Gita. And if somebody says, "Oh, why should I buy Bhagavad Gita?" And you have to know. You said, "No, I also, in the beginning, it happened to me. I read Bhagavad Gita and this happened to me. And this can also happen to you. Very good things." And people say, "Oh, yeah, that's very nice." Yeah. Or whatever, you know. I know Vijay Prabhu, he was distributing at that time. You know, he would open on the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, there's these pictures. And then he would show the people three modes of material, you know, these three modes of material nature, and the Maya is like doing with the strings. And he explains, this is mode of goodness, this mode of passion, this mode of ignorance. And he said, "What mode are you?" And people usually say, "I'm the mode of ignorance." Most of the people say, "I'm mode of ignorance." Sleeping, you know, intoxication, whatever, laziness, I'm this one. So he has, the point is that he was reading this book. He's reading the book constantly for so many years. Bhagavad Gita. Same Dehina Sminyata Dehe, same verses, same everything, same purpose. And then you always find new and new and new and amazing things. Amazing things. I remember once I was, one bhakta was very fired up to learn verses, and he asked me, "What's your favorite verse?" Because he learned some fancy verses. You know, I said, "My favorite verse is Vasudeva Saramiti Samahatma Sudurlaba." And he said, ah, this, everybody knows this verse, you know. He said, do you know this man, some fancy, you know? I said, I don't know. And he was thinking, what's it, this Vasudeva Sarvamiti? But when you actually think about Vasudevam Saram, the Vasudeva is everything to you. You know, you ask yourself, is Vasudeva everything to me? Is it? You know, then you go 00 hours and you see to another 24:00, is Vasudeva everything in this one day to me? Maybe, maybe not, maybe halfway, maybe one third. So this is just one example. So this is what I wanted to say. The experience of a Sankirtan devotee, actually, the Sankirtan devotee lives this particular verse. I thought, what verse would personify this experience of a Sankirtan devotee? Constant surrender, constant prayer, constant giving up basically everything, all upadis, because we give up all kind of upadis. When we're on the street, sometimes the senior Sankirtan devotees or devotees who are, you lose yourself, as we say. You lose yourself. And you only see this person and you only have this feeling of Krishna consciousness. You forget how do you look like. You forget how you dressed. You know, one devotee told me he distributed all their books. He was so fired up and he came back home and he had this tail, Hanuman tail of this copan, you know, hanging. And he was like, he said, it's embarrassing all day long, you know. But he was so ecstatic, and I thought, wow, such a nice day. And then somebody said, Prabhu, and he was like, oh my God, you know. Because devotees lose themselves, lose the concept of bodily identification. So I thought the best, you know, one of the best, at least at this moment, I'm thinking the best verse is the verse describing Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam Purusham Puranam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari Kripam Bunir Yastvam Prapadye. Vairagya Vidya, this knowledge of renunciation of the material world. Prabhupada, when he came, this was the first preaching, material world is bad. That was the preaching. And he gave even this example of the miners in India when they say, but if you don't, whatever, not in India, whatever, if you don't surrender to God, you will go to hell. And they say, what is hell? It's a very, very dark place and very under the earth and no air to breathe. And they said, well, we already live in like this, so it's not a big deal, you know. But then Prabhupada says, then the preacher was thinking, but there will be no newspaper there. And they're like, oh, nowadays we can translate, there will be no internet. Without internet, who can live? 10 minutes, you know, internet, we are like trembling, you know. And then they said, no newspaper. And they were like, oh my God, this is horrible. We don't want to go to hell. So, Vairagya Vidya, you know, this material world is not place, Prabhupada said, fit for a gentleman. This is not place. You got dog barks at you. Or somebody, I went recently to, with all respect, to the nation of United Kingdom. I went to Tesco and I asked guy, I couldn't find an item. And he said, here. And he showed me with a foot like this. I was thinking, thank you. You know, I said, thank you. You know. With a foot. I never seen anybody showing me with a foot in the store. It's official store, you know. I said, okay, thank you. This is not place fit for gentlemen, you know. Material world. This effect. So, Vairagya Vidya, that this Vairagya means everything, Prabhupada says, which Prabhupada translates, which fosters Krishna consciousness, should be abandoned. This is a very interesting, this is this so-called nati-nati philosophy, and Prabhupada gives example of an elephant, that somebody wanted to carve a perfect elephant from stone. How do you carve a perfect elephant? You carve a perfect elephant by discarding everything which is not elephant. There's a piece of stone, and whatever is not elephant, you take it off. So whatever is not Krishna consciousness, we are taking off. Just like that, chipping it off. And sometimes, you know, it's nice, sometimes it's painful. We know when we start following the principles. One principle was really difficult. Another principle was not so difficult. You know, like for example, I met one devotee friend. He was very attached to gambling. I've never met anybody attached to gambling. He said this was for me the most difficult. You know, he said I couldn't. You know, he was like no gambling. You know, he could give up other principles easy, but gambling, like, oh. So everybody has a attachment, different attachment in this material world. So we are vairagya vidya. There's a knowledge. What is this one we need to chip off? This is Lord Chaitanya's. Nija Bhakti Yoga. So this Nija Bhakti Yoga means his own devotional service. Which is interesting, I thought, concept that Lord Chaitanya has his own devotional service. There's so many different paths in devotional service. We have four sampradayas, four Vaishnava sampradayas. And they all have different paths. But we have a Lord Chaitanya has his own Nija Bhakti Yoga. His own Bhakti Yoga. And this is his own Bhakti Yoga. Harinam Sankirtan. Golokera Premadana. Harinama Sankirtan. This is his own Bhakti Yoga. So therefore when devotees, Sankirtan devotees distribute books, actually they are doing his own Bhakti Yoga. And trying to chip off these things. Because sometimes, you know, people are giving you a hard time. People even want to physically assault you. Not nowadays much. But still, you know, people are assaulting you or come and, you know, a few years back, you know, they come and rip your book and like and laughing, like this demoniac laughter. You cannot do anything about it. You know? You just said, Hare Krishna, have a nice day. What can you say? You know, of course, you can be empowered by Lord Nisimadev. This is a different story, but we prefer not to do this in public. So, Nija Bhakti Yoga, his own devotional service. So this is the Sankirtan devotee does this, you know, tries to renounce everything. And this is a constant influx of devotional service into a devotee. You can say, we open all the doors. You know, sometimes when it's, you know, for example, smoke, if there'll be smoke now in this room, you'll have to open all the windows, all of them, for smoke to go out. So it is like this. A devotee who is practicing Sankirtan, who is going out on book distribution, you know, this is just a disclaimer. This is not to undermine any other services, but just we are talking about book distribution right now. So devotee opens all the doors, all the windows, and just waits for Krishna to send his flow of, with the buckets, flow of devotional service. And devotee is just ready for it, just waiting. You know, so this is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. This is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada says in one purport I just read recently that there is a sannyas as a renounced order of life in the society, and then there is a devotee who is totally surrendered, who has given up all other shelter except Krishna. This is even higher than sannyas. Because sannyas in itself is not a goal. Sannyas is ultimately a one of the four varnas one of the four ashramas in the varnashram society. But the point of sannyas is actually to be completely detached from material world and attached to Krishna. So therefore, many situations, Prabhupada says, you are higher than sannyasi because you are constantly devoted to Krishna and constantly surrendered, atmanivedana, to Krishna. So how are we doing with the time? In this, to come back a little bit, there's a little bit philosophical part, but I want to say a little bit more of a story part, which probably was inspiring me yesterday. In this practice of opening the windows and the doors for Krishna's devotional service, each devotee reacts differently, you know. Because Prabhupada says you should tax your brain how to distribute these books. So each devotee, each person has a different kind of brain. We are not the same. You know, look at even now dresses. Does anybody dress exactly the same? Nobody. You know, Matajas have different saris. Prabhupada, even when they're white, they're wearing different shirt. You were in red, you were in this, you were in beige. You know, everybody's a different colors. Somebody's wearing hat, somebody's not. Everybody's a different, you know, we all different personalities. So therefore, in applying ourselves, our brains, our intelligence to perform this mission, we all have different approaches. You know. I will tell you a few approaches, a little extreme. I'll tell you two extreme approaches, which I witnessed personally. One devotee, I don't want to tell his name, is a very fired-up devotee. He was distributing books in one of the airports, I don't want to say where, and it was very difficult. That airport was they were repairing this airport. So all the gates were closed except one wing and this one exit. So all the flights, I don't know if you have distributed books. Can you do books in here? Not in England, not in the airport. Difficult. Yeah. Oh, you've done before, sir. So, you know, all the people come on one gate, you know, all of them, a whole flight, like whatever, 300 people, like gushing. And this is maybe 10 meters wide or 15. And you're standing there in the middle of it, and it's just like, you know. So this devotee distributed books there for years, and I heard the story, he was alone, and he was struggling for years. And then one day he broke off, and he just started doing many books. And then I went with him to distribute. And then I was thinking, what is he saying? Because I tried, excuse me, sir, you know, excuse me. What excuse me, you know? There's hundreds of people like rushing at me. And I said, excuse me. They're like, excuse me. And I was like, how do you stop? And I said, how do you stop people here? How do you do it? And he said, I just say something. And I stood next to him. And you know what he says? He says, Guru Puja Mangala Artik. And the person stops. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. This was his mantra, Guru Puja Mangala Arati. I was like, wow. He said he tried everything, and in the end, he couldn't come up with anything. He just said, Guru Puja Mangala, and people start stopping on Guru Puja Mangala Arati. Not just Guru Puja, not only Mangala Arati, but both. So, and then listen to this. There's more. He said, Guru Puja Mangala Arati. And people stop. And he said, you take the Bhagavad Gita. Check it out, man. Gandhi's favorite. And that was his all mantra. Check it out, man. Gandhi's favorite. And he could do like 100 Bhagavad Gitas a day. I was like shocked, you know. But you know, this, he went years and years of struggling for hours and hours. And he came up with this. It's not like Guru Puja Mangala Arati, check it out, man, Gandhi's favorite. Amazing, amazing. So I tried, you know. And they stopped. Guru Puja Mangala Arati, they stopped. And then I invented new mantra. The mantra was, how is everything? And they're like, oh, everything is great. You know? I said, oh, okay, well, I have books or whatever. I couldn't do this, Gandhi's favorite. You know, this is too much for me. But he did so many books, you know. Another extreme, this is one extreme. And another extreme is, I was at that time Sankirtan leader, Bhakti leader in one temple. And I got a Bhakta who was 56 years old, professor of psychology in the university. It's a long story. Why did he come? This is a long story. But he said, I want to join your Bhakta program. I said, I mean, you are, you know, as they say, young whippersnapper, you know, I was some guy, you know, brahmachari. And you're a professor of psychology, what can I teach you, you know? He said, no, I want you. He said, I will do everything whatever other bhaktas do. I said, well, other bhaktas, I take him on Sankirtan. And he said, okay, take me on Sankirtan. You know, then, you know, he has to wake up in the morning for Mangala. That was difficult for him to wake up Mangala, just chant 16 rounds. And he said, be not kind to me. He said, just push me as you do, you know, with the bhaktas. I said, sure. Thank you for asking, you know. So then I gave him his own room, of course, you know, it's too much to. But he was very nice. And then we went out on Sankirtan, and this was terrible for him. Terrible, you know. This was also very, lots of flow of people, and you have to be really like, I kind of like this little more passionate mood. He said, excuse me, sir, how are you doing? Oh, how's it going, man? Oh, yeah. And it was too much for him. And he said, and then he came to me one evening and he said, you know, Jasachi, I think I invented the method of book distribution. I said, okay, tell me. So he said, I'll show you tomorrow. So he's a psychology thing. You know. So he took two books. One book was a golden color. I think there was a picture of Arjuna and Krishna, this golden. And then the other one was book called On the Way to Krishna, the Krishna in the I forgot. It was, anyways, one book with Krishna in the forest, you know, more like a green. So, sorry, leaves, yes. Yes, yes. No, no, a small book, small book. So he would go to people, and so we chose, he said, I cannot do this, it's too much traffic. So we went out of the, how do you call this, how do you call it in England? Tube station, or how do you call this? Okay. Outside, because there's one not so, a little remote station, not so many people come out. So it's more peaceful. So he stands there, and the people come out, and he said, excuse me, sir, I would like to ask you for an opinion. And the people said, oh, of course, yeah. You know, everybody, you know, likes to give an opinion, you know. We know the social media is like a born for this thing, made for these things. And he said, I would like to ask you for an opinion. And he said, and the person said, yes, what? And he said, he showed him two books. Which of the two covers you like the most? And I'm not joking, this it did not fail 100%. It worked every time. We distributed each 30 books that day. And he said, which of the colors you like the best? And the guy said, I like this golden one. And he said, oh, very nice. You can have it. Okay? It has to be like, okay, loud. Okay? And people said, okay. And they took it. And he said, but because we do some food relief and we live like a monk, you have to give some donation. Okay? And people said, okay. And they just give donation. It worked every time. And I tried it. It worked every single time. We did each 30-something books. And I asked him, how did... And he said, this is the psychology. You know, this is the psychology of people. If you say okay, they are, the brain is somehow wired to say okay. And he said, he attracts them first. He attracted them. You know, this is like a... You know, I mean, there are teams of people who work hard to sell you a cereal, you know. Psychologist. So he said, first to attract them, they give you these options. You're such a valuable person to give an opinion. And the people said, of course, I can give you opinion. And which of the light? And then you engage their brain. Which of the two? And he said, once they decide for one, they're emotionally attached to the book. And he said, golden one. And you said, oh, you can have it. Okay. And people said, always okay. You know, and it went on like this a couple of weeks, and he was doing really well. And then one day, after some time, I couldn't do this. For me, it was like, I'm so passionate, you know. I said, sorry, I cannot do this. I just cannot do this. And I'm going to my busy street and doing my, excuse me, how's it going, man? Is everything okay? And then he came one day, and he was devastated, like mental, you know. I don't know if anybody bhakta leader here. When you see a mental bhakta, you know, this is like his head is like this big. His mind is like two meters big, and he's like this depressed. And I knew it, you know, I knew it. And I said, so Jack, you didn't do well today. And he said, no. So I said, okay, tell me all about it. So he told me that nobody wanted to take a book, and no, this, maybe this is not for me, maybe I should go back. And I said, hold on a minute, you know, I mean, you just, hold on a minute. So I preached to him, although he's a psychologist, he's supposed to preach to me. Anyways, and then he stayed. The end of the story is something not related to book distribution, but I just thought this is the extreme, another extreme. About book distributions. Then we had another devotee. There was a time we stayed in one place, one temple, and all the books were somehow something BBT. They didn't pay on time, and BBT didn't want to send them new books. And we only left with Gitas. You know, big brick. You know, nowadays Gitas are small, but at that time, big book Gitas were like huge thing, heavy, big things. So we went out to see the books, and one devotee, and this was interesting, where a new challenge occurred, that some devotees stood up to challenge. You know, some devotees who would not expect, they got into Gita distribution, they started doing 30, 40, 50, 70 Gitas, 70 Bhagavad Gitas, you know. But you have to find a way, because some people don't have money. So they give you £2, whatever. Then you give him Gita, next person has to give you £15. So it's like this. You always calculate in the back of your mind how much Lakshmi you have. But he would, if people don't, if people like mentoring, you know, sometimes in book distribution, you want to give a book and they said, I don't know, or they take the wallet, you know, and then just about to take the money and he said, actually, I don't, you know, isn't it? And your heart feels like, oh my God, you know, please Krishna, let me get. And he said, actually, I don't want it. And he put the money back and put the wallet in the pocket and he feel like an idiot, you know. And this devotee, what would he do? He would kneel. You know, like they give them the wedding ring, not wedding, the engagement ring. He kneeled like this and he said, sir, you are a saint. Please take a book. And the guy is like, it's embarrassing. You know, somebody kneels in front of you. They said, okay, I'll take it. You know? I'm not saying we should try this. You know, I'm just saying the different extremes, the different devotees did perform Sankirtan in a different way. And in the end, if Jairam, you're watching this, this is the one story of one devotee who also not recommended. He was distributing books on the street and the person came, young guy, a little bit buff, kind of tough guy. And he said, hey, you know, check it out. We have these books and this and that. And the guy said, oh, I don't have money. And the Sankirtan devotee said something which he never said before. He said, you are lying. You have money. And the guy was offended. You tell me I'm lying. And he went, you know. And then this guy went home and he thought, he is the one, the first time in my life somebody told me the truth. Because in his pocket, he had around 2,000 pounds. He wanted to buy ganja, marijuana. So he had a 2,000 in his pocket. And the devotee told him, you are lying. And he said, this is the first time in my life that somebody told me the truth. And he said, the next day he went there and he said, buy all the books. What do you have? And they became best friends. Then he joined us and he became a Sankirtan devotee also. You know, we don't say this in public, you know, you are lying. But sometimes things come. You know, sometimes you say, you don't even know yourself. Why did you say it? You know, like, you know, you say, oh, you know, people, it happened. I heard so many devotees, Sankirtan devotees, this. You approach a person, and a person says, I don't want a book. And you said, oh, you should take a book, it's your birthday today. And people said, how do you know? And I said, it's yoga, meditation, you know, here's a book. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes Krishna speaks through you and he says certain things. Or, anyways, so this is, how are we doing with time? 8:25. I wanted to, yes, at the end. At the end, just conclusion, I mean, is, first of all, what does book distribution do to us as devotees when we open all these windows and doors and everything? Makes us, of course, more spiritually advanced and make us even materially advanced. How many times, at least it happened to me 2 times, I'm distributing books and one guy is watching me, you know, and you think it was the FBI or, you know, some, you know, with suit and tie guys, you know, you think like, who are these people, you know, watching me? Like an hour or 2 hours from a distance or making a note, you know, what is it? Then he comes to me and he said, you want to work for me? He said, I'm observing you. He said, I'll give you immediately this salary. Isn't it happened to you probably? You know, I don't know who else is Sankirtan devotee here. Don't offend because you said yesterday. But it happened quite often that people want to employ us. They see like, wow, this guy, you know, if he works for me, he will be a really good salesman. But then we say, no, we don't actually sell anything. And I don't actually get any salary. I'm sleeping on the floor. I have one suitcase and one with books, one with clothes. This is all I possess. And they're like, really? You know, they cannot fathom. But anyways, make us material qualified. Second of all, what really, I was just thinking also, what does book distribution, except we are saving the world, we are giving books to the people become devotees, we are purifying the atmosphere, you know, so many things. There's this famous Irish, some years ago, Irish Times, I think, the article said, we all little bit Hare Krishnas. Remember this article? The one person explains all these yoga meditations, they all is the Hare Krishnas were the first ones to come. And from them, everything came. And he said, everybody comes from, kind of like, we all a little bit Hare Krishnas. And that was a very nice article. So besides this, the book distribution, what does it? It saves us. I happen to witness a death, or you can say, or leaving the body of one devotee. I think he was from Finland, I don't remember. And I met him accidentally in Vrindavan, somehow or other, and he was a brahmachari, young devotee, 8 years in the movement, 28 years old, young boy. And he was a leading Sankirtan devotee, many books and this and that, but, you know, young devotee. And then one day, he was feeling bad. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have a cancer, but not just cancer, you will die within 6 months. And everybody was shocked, and they tried to, not possible. The cancer was eating like, you know, 100 miles per hour. And then he went to Vrindavan to die. And he was so fixed, so unmoved. As we said, unfazed. Like, he had a picture of Gaur Nithai, and that's all. Picture of Gaur Nithai, and he was just there. And I remember last, I happened to, because he was laying in this bed for like days and days, and I happened to be the last day I came even, the last day, 2 hours, 3 hours later, he left the body. He was like completely bones, and I came and I said, how, Prabhu, will see us in some other universe distributing books. And he was lying like this, and he said, yes, Sankirtan never stops. Wow. And I was like, Haribo. This is one. And the second is the, I remember this very, like, in our times, when, before the digital revolution, we were listening tapes. Yeah. So there was these Sankirtan tapes from different Sankirtan devotees. So I was ordering it from BBT, and there was this tape by Gauri Devi Dasi. She was a senior book distributor in America. Very good devotee, very nice, wonderful devotee. And she was, I listened to this interview, she was laying down and she said, on her deathbed also, because she got some cancer, I don't know exactly, she died of cancer. And she was laying and she said, I was thinking all these years, how did she put it? I was thinking all these years that I was saving the conditioned souls, but I realized I was saving myself. So this is another important point that we should always consider. Book distribution, yes, we are saving the souls, but we are also saving ourselves. Because by this, we see the senior devotees who distributed books for many years, you know, they stopped distributing books, but this stamina, this mentality is still there. This service, preaching mood is still there. But Prabhupada was speaking yesterday that these guests came and he just immediately, oh, they need Krishna, bring it here. Bring them beads, give them books, give them prasad, give them, you know, whole everything. You know, they were like carrying, I can imagine like this. Yes, take Krishna immediately. You know, this is the mood of a Sankirtan devotee. So I thank you very much for your attention. And Hare Krishna, if you would like to add something or, I don't know, ask something. So none. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You wanted to say something, Prabhupada?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the wonderful class, Prabhu. Like in Russia, what's the preaching like there? Is it like?
I don't know. I've never been to Russia.
I've never been. No. Okay.
But it's well. You know, we were in Germany. We had a big festival. You know, we organized like the biggest festival at the time, like few years back in Simhachalam, Sima Chaturdashi, and we had 600 people. You know, I was so proud, a big festival. And one Russian devotee came and he said, how many devotees? I said, 600 guests. And he said, oh. I said, what? He said, in Moscow for a Sunday feast, we have 1,000 people every Sunday. So, a regular, he said, this is no festival, no big sannyasi come, just a regular Sunday feast. So, I guess they're doing well.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.